This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The corporate story of the day today contains within it an industrial story, a commodities story, a global trade story, and a, wow, that's an interesting move story. Ford Motor Company announced late yesterday it's going to stop making cars for the North American market. Save the iconic Mustang. Dan Neal writes on cars for the Wall Street Journal. Dan, it's good to have you on.
Great to be here, Kai.
We should be clear here that we're talking just cars, mostly, not everything that Ford's doing, right? Let's establish the ground rules.
Sure. We're talking about their product strategy in North America and the rest of the world. Yes.
Okay. Now, why, man? Because the headline saying Ford's going to stop building cars do seem a bit, it seems big.
You know, a lot of people have taken this news very hard because of the emotional significance of the Ford Motor Company, the company that started mass mobility with the Model T. And, you know, so much of our American automotive bedrock is Ford. But this is not a unexpected outcome. Ford has always cleared that their center of competence is bigger. And these days, bigger vehicles are more profitable. And so it seems like almost as if they push the issue. You know, car makers always say they build what people want, but they never mention the fact that they spend billions to tell them what they want. It wasn't just that consumers spontaneously desired a truck that was as big as a house. No, that was a gradual process. And it has been pushed by the automakers primarily because bigger equals more profit.
Okay, but wait, hold your nellies here for a minute, because you and I both know that gas prices are not going to stay as low as they are forever, right? And as soon as gas prices keep going up, are Americans going to keep buying the crossover SUVs and the big cars and the big trucks that Ford is now banking on?
Well, you remember that Star Trek episode where they're like caught in a causality loop and no matter what they did, they kept making the same mistakes, you know, being hurtling toward the same, you know, demise. This is the very same mistake the companies made in the 90s and the 2000s during the gas spike. And really, the language of Wall Street and investment doesn't give them any kind of dialogue with the future. You know, they have to maximize their profits now. They cannot plan for what is obviously the inevitable. They can make money on big trucks, big SUVs and crossovers and not really worry about the rest of the world, but it doesn't set them up to be competitive in the long run.
Well, talk to me then for a minute about the part of the global car market that is not North America, right? Because they have to compete in China, they have to compete in South America, they have to compete in Europe as well.
Do they? I don't know that they're thinking that at all. I think they're very happy behind the, you know, Fortress of America walls. Look, you know, Ford pulled out of Europe for the most part. GM suffered a whole big setback in Korea and restructuring just in the past quarter. And most of all, the biggest weathermaker of all is China's new EV mandates. You know, these are much more strict. And these companies are not set up to compete in China.
Help me understand the causality loop here for a second. Is what you're saying basically that it's that old definition of insanity, right? They keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
You know, every time these conditions present themselves, car makers look for the most profitable way to exploit their opportunities. And how long before Ford builds another excursion? Remember the Simpsons Canyonero?
Yeah.
That's going to happen, you know, and that's the other. It's the death of shame, right? You know, they are building just as big as they can get. Consumers are afraid to be in smaller cars when they're surrounded by increasingly taller vehicles.
And meanwhile, I paid $3.63 a gallon for gas the other day.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. You know, I do believe that people believe that there was always going to be an oil glut and that oil prices would never go up. I believe there a lot of investment was made on that basis. And in my experience, that doesn't last forever. But I'm not a very rich man, so I don't know.
Dan Neal, he writes on cars for The Wall Street Journal. Dan, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Guy. Nice to be here.